Shalom, אנחנו לומדים בספר כתבי.
Hello, we're reading Kabbalah for the Student, from Kabbalah for the Student, page 261, article The Peace. You can ask questions live. Again, The Peace, page 261. An empirical scientific research about the necessity of the work of God. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with a kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people that shall be left from Ashur and from Egypt, from Petrus and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamat and from the islands of the sea. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta said, God did not find a vessel to hold the blessing for Israel, but peace. As it says, the Lord gives strength to his people, the Lord blesses his people with peace. After having demonstrated in previous articles the general form of his work, whose essence is but the love of others, practically determined as bestowal upon others, meaning that the actual manifestation of love of others is bestowal of goodness upon others. Love of others should be determined as bestowal upon others, which is best suited for its content, aiming to ensure that we will not forget the aim. Now that we know for certain the conduct of his work, there still remains to inquire whether this work is acceptable to us by faith alone, without any scientific empirical basis, or whether we also have an empirical basis for it. This is what I want to demonstrate in the essay before us. But first, I must thoroughly demonstrate the subject itself, meaning who it is who accepts our work. But I am not an enthusiast of formative philosophy, since I dislike theoretically based studies, and it is well known that most of my contemporaries agree with me, for we are too familiar with such foundations, which are rickety foundations. And when the foundation fluctuates, the whole building tumbles. Therefore, I have come here to speak only through critique of empirical reason, beginning from the simple recognition no one disagrees with, through proving analytically, separating the various elements in an issue, until we come to determining the uppermost topic, and it will be tested synthetically, the connection and unity between matters, such as inference, and all the more so, how his work is confirmed and reaffirmed by simple recognition from the practical aspect.
Shilot.
Questions. So everything's clear. What we want, like he writes, is a scientific research based on empirical information of the work of God, the necessity of the work. That he wants to prove that what we need to do on ourselves by inverting ourselves from receiving to in order to bestow, which is our work. It's not that we're making this change, but rather we cause it to happen. With our agreement, it needs to happen. That's called our work. Our work is altogether to ask, to demand, to be included in those changes. So that's a necessary thing. Like it or not, that's what he says. This is a matter of the necessity of the work of God. That's clear, yes? Well,
how could there be something within reason regarding the work of God?
I don't know, but he promises us that we will understand with our intellect and maybe with our feelings, but in a scientific, empirical way, that you'll be able to prove it to everyone that it's worthwhile for us to work, to serve the Creator. It's worth it for us to do. And this is the necessity, as he writes, it's logical, scientifical, that it's worth it for us to do this. If not, we will be obligated to bow before this. He really is about to show this to us, to prove this to us. Let's see. Yes?
Contradictions in providence. Every reasonable person who examines the reality before us finds two complete opposites in it. When examining creation, its reality and conducts, there is an apparent and affirmed leadership of great wisdom and skill, both regarding the formation of reality and the securing of its existence in general. Let us take the making of a human being as an example. The love and pleasure of his progenitors is its first reason, guaranteed to perform its duty, and when the essential drop is extracted from the father's brain, Providence has very wisely secured a safe place for it, which qualifies it to receive life. Providence also gives it its daily bread in the exact amount, and it also prepares a wonderful foundation for it in the mother's womb, so that no stranger may harm it. It tends to it its every need like a trained nanny who will not forget it even for a moment until it has acquired the strength to emerge into our world. At that time, Providence briefly lends it just enough strength to break the walls that surround it, and like a trained armed warrior, it breaks an opening and emerges in the world. Then, too, Providence does not abandon it like a loving mother. It brings it to such loving, loyal people it can trust, called mother and father, to assist it through its days of weakness until it grows and is able to sustain itself as man. So are all the animals, plants, and objects. All are wisely and mercifully cared for to ensure their own existence and the continuation of their species. But those who examine that reality from the perspective of provision and persistence of existence can clearly see great disorder and confusion, as though there were no leader and no guidance. Everyone does that which is right in his own eyes, building himself on the ruin of others. The evil thrive and the righteous are trampled mercilessly. Bear in mind that this oppositeness, set before the eyes of every sensible, educated person, has preoccupied humanity even in ancient days, and there are many methods to explain these two apparent opposites in providence, which occupy the same world.
Questions?
Ken.
Yes.
Can you explain a bit what or who exactly is Bala Sulam writing for, toward what state? Because he writes that everything's in Providence.
Of course.
That everything on his part, on the part of Providence, is perfect. And he knows that only he's corrupted, and not what's outside of him. So, toward what point is he writing?
He writes from a point that he knows that there's an upper force that created all of reality, and it is good that does good, but we don't feel it as good as that does good. Rather, we feel ourselves in a world that seemingly has no leader, no righteousness, no law, and each can do whatever he feels like, where everything is according to strength. I'm stronger, I rule. He's stronger, he rules. And that's how it is. Look at the Nature Channel, how each devours the other. They only think of how to eat the other. Why? Because that's the will to receive, the egoistic will to receive, operates each and every creature to implement its will to receive in it. From the smallest particle in an atom, in still vegetative inanimate, and moreover, in people.
A Kabbalist that writes, does he want to change reality?
I don't know. He told you in the title what he wants. He wants to prove to you that it's worthwhile to create order here.
To create order how? What do you mean?
I don't know, sir. You didn't read it with us and you're asking. He writes, I don't know, in general, I am studying a certain article and he's writing the article called The Peace, a scientific study based on empirical research about the necessity of the work of the Creator.
Who's he turning to?
For everyone.
But it's all Providence. It's all arranged.
I don't know. You're the wise guy. He's turning to everyone.
This is what we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the Providence arranges the will to receive. Who is he turning to?
I studied the wisdom of Kabbalah, and for me it's a new thing. That's it. When I study what a Kabbalist writes, I open as much as possible my ears and my eyes and the tastes and the heart and everything as much as possible. For what? It doesn't matter for what. Like a child. Like that. Why? I want to swallow what he wants to give. And what? Not what I want to hear. Not what I want to receive. I don't limit myself. He's talking to the smart people. Oh, he's talking to the sensitive people. He's talking to the scholars. He's saying like this and like that. I don't know. I open all the openings that I have as much as I'm capable to grasp what he says. And what does he say? I don't know. I never know, even when I'm studying tests or it doesn't matter what. I don't know what I'm about to study. First of all, of course, it's the reforming light and the light of Ein Sof. But besides that, even in the low degrees, the way it will enter me and penetrate me, work on me, I never criticize that in advance. How can you do so? For me to limit myself, I'll say, no, that's for the scholars. I don't need that. Oh, that's for the beginners. That's in the first campus. I'm in the third campus already. That's how I'll relate to this? No, I don't want to hear. You do criticism and do that scrutiny on yourself. It's good that you're going through such states, but you need to be a little bit more in critique, not only on us and Bala Sulam, but also on your approach. Nevertheless, you need to be free for any feeling that will come. I am willing to sit beside the Kabbalist and the friends and to be with them and to hear everything that I might be able to receive through them. That's it. I have no choice. That's my supplier, my supplier of life.
Barur, עוד שאלות.
Clear? Other questions? Yes.
Bezev divided the description into two. One is until there is a human being, and after there is a human being, how to sustain him. In short, how to sustain him after he's born, and the process until he's born.
Yes.
So what are we participating in, and what's on part of the Creator?
It's as if, he wants to say, as if, I don't know, I'm here, it sounds like that, that what comes from above is all good, but when it comes to the reception of the creatures, each and every creature, it enters its will to receive. Then the will to receive corrupts the reception of the good and inverts it to something bad and toil. More? That's it? Okay, let's continue. We'll ask.
I want to understand. Well, I can't understand what we just read. The text itself, the contradiction in providence, the first, the second parts.
Anyone who looks at the reality before us finds two complete opposites. When examining creation, its reality and conduct, there is an apparent and affirmed leadership of great wisdom and skill. Both, it's beautiful, it's perfect, and regarding formation of a reality and securing of its existence in general. What are you asking?
What is A and what is B?
He explains later how they prepared it a nice, beautiful, good place for an embryo. And imagine to yourself, if you were now to discover yourself in Mars. You saw Mars, it's all dry, without water, no atmosphere or anything, they're all dry. How would you exist there? Meaning a good filled with all the abundance was already prepared for you, that world was prepared for you. So you need to understand, why was it filled with bad? Also because of people, and also because people influence the animal and vegetation and inanimate. And also in them we discover bad behaviors. It comes from the degree of man to them. But to start with, the world is readied for the role and the task that man has to come to its best possible results. Now, if you see the governance as if it's the other way around, and other than the governance, you also see nature itself, human society, people, everything not organized, not good and not nice, that's all in order to bring us also to adhesion, also to adherence. We need to check this and scrutinize. He probably wants to explain this. The article is not short and simple, but that's what we need, that everything that's been created in the world has great importance. Nothing is to be destroyed because it was created from that intention to give a place for a person to live, to advance, to complete what he needs to.
So the first thing is that a good place for a development was prepared, and the second part of it, the opposite, is what?
What's written as one?
It says the way it's formed.
Yes, how that comes from above. And two?
The promise, the way to promise one's existence.
So it comes to you from above. The world is stabilized before you, and you let it exist, and you're given the evil inclination, so that you will learn about your attitude towards the world, how you get wiser, let's say, and start to understand providence in such a way that you're asking why, for what's happening, and then you come to the necessity to work the Creator, to serve the Creator, meaning to come to acts of bestowal. Yes.
He calls it this research an empirical research, and he calls the Creator
providence. Yes, why not? The laws of the nature or the law of the Creator, the same thing? Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
So write to yourself that it's the same thing, because the Creator or nature are the same thing. Or are you talking about how the Creator relates to you, or you could say how nature relates to you that way? It's the same thing. The Creator is nature, and nature is the same thing. Only nature, you think of it as inanimate, because there's the wind, it's sand and cold and hot, sun, something, that's called nature. And the Creators know it's the general force of all of reality, which is the true nature, which has a plan. You don't want him to have a plan. You're saying, nah, nature is nature. You can use it, and that's it. No. It's the plan, the goal, providence, governance, clear actions that direct everything, each and every creature, to come to his purpose, to his goal. It's all included in the concept of godliness, which rules over everything. What does he do by that? He wants to build in a person, to develop in a person, the recognition of that force of nature.
Surely you're more of a scientist than I am. Is he, as a scientist, not supposed to prove this, the existence of providence?
Yes, yes, correct, of course. No, he doesn't demand anything in the fact that you should believe him in something. But if you go exactly to what he writes, and deepen in that, you will see that everything is sorted in such a way so that you will develop with your mind such that you will get to know the upper force and study it, so much so that you, in your investigation, do a simulation in your recognition. You build within you from the opposite qualities that are arranged that way specifically. You will build the simulation of God in you, and that will be called Neshama, soul. And by that, you attain him, and you don't attain him like in this world where you attain something externally. You perceive it, you grasp it, you control instead of the Creator over all of reality. You truly execute everything. That's how he wants to explain to you that you're about to come to. That's why he says, based on an empirical research, that only from your experience you come to the knowledge of the Creator and godliness and study it and research it. Yes?
If I continue with him till the end of the article, but possibly that I'll lose him somewhere in the beginning because he's talking about providence.
Providence is called the laws of nature. And if till the end of the article, then I'll read the article several times, also from the beginning, so I'll understand it. And then maybe from the beginning of the article where I will understand it that way. What's with you? So you don't want to study, so it's not for you, so it's not written for you.
The question is about the approach, the attitude.
The attitude is I sit and I learn and I don't believe anything. I learn. How many things did I learn in school? History. I came to the classroom. A person sat there, or a woman, and started to tell me things, stories. There were wars, there were these things, the pyramids, who knows what, this, that. I believe her. Why? Because I'm small. Because I'm beaten if she don't remember what she told me. Well, that's really. Then another came in geography and all kinds of other things. Why do I believe them? But I, from that, compose the picture of the world. And that's how we are. Guys, I don't know, you're kind of like limited, and you're saying, oh, we want to study in a scientific way. Scientific means you sit and you study that you don't believe in not one word, and by that you will convince him that he must prove it to you. And that will be, if you study in such a way, it will open up in general. You'll see that it happens before your eyes. It's not because you learn there that there's something there and that the earth is round. But you will receive it from the internal experience. That's why he writes it upon an empirical research basis. It's difficult for me. No, that's enough.
The daily task. Tens on duty today. Emma Moshavot, Los Angeles, Kazan, Kropinitsky, Petach Tikva 22. Daily task. Implementing Rav's advice to listen to the Saturday afternoon lesson, put a reminding beep every hour, and at the end of the day, to write in your diary. The World Yeshivat Chavarim, today at 6:45, we're inviting all of our friends to unite on the World Yeshivat Chavarim. Thank you. And introductory lectures all over Israel. We're happy to invite you for an introductory lecture in one of our centers around Israel. For the details, contact us. And all as one, the World Kabbalah Congress in Europe from the 27th to the 29th of July. For further details and registration, eurocongress.info. Thank you. And